I'm Fresh, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Confucius Jones and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop, Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in the podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways. No matter where you're from or where you stay. 98.9, you in the place to be. Wake up, wake up, wake up. This is The Breaks. You could be anywhere but you ain't. You in, so let's proceed with the wave. 98.9, you in the place to be. Wake up, wake up, wake up. This is The Breaks.
Fresh is Kanye fan, so you can start.
Whoa. I'm not a fan anymore. I've revoked my card. But you know, the people want to hear us talk about it, man. And we can now we can finally talk about him because it's nothing political.
Y'all lucky we started this podcast. If we went for this podcast, I would not talk about that man.
I mean, honestly, I don't know what we
from my lexicon outside of everything he did before.
Now that I sit here, I don't know what we would talk about because I know neither one of us listened to this album.
I just said you saw the interview.
I did see the interview with Adam 22.
Yeah, Adam.
With Adam 22 and Dame Dash, because they're doing a podcast, which Dame Dash refused to call it a podcast. It's a show, which is still a podcast, Dame Dash. I don't know if you understand that concept, but
I saw Kanye's interview with Zane Lowe.
I didn't watch that one. I saw the clips from his Big Boy.
Yeah. So.
And that one was the most problematic. With the Big Boy, with me, I didn't watch Zane Lowe, but that one was more. A bit problematic for me.
Here's my thing with Kanye, and I'll finally speak on this, and then you can give your thoughts on it. Kanye has been going on this campaign of speaking about how he's free thinking. He's been wearing his MAGA hat. He's been, saying how black people slaves to this, that were slavery of the choice, and it's a whole bunch of reckless stuff, right? What my main problem with Kanye, and me, you've had this conversation. No matter what your race is, you can be any political affiliation you want to be, right? To say that every black person who's not Republican is lost or mental slave is very disingenuous to the just black people in general. To call an entire race of people stupid because they don't want to vote for a party that you're affiliated with is just extremely misguided. And two, what Kanye also doesn't realize, and this is going to be my Confucius says later about narcissist, is that you're able to jump back and forth between whatever political party you want to because you come from a place of privilege of having money. So to you, most of the policies that, yes, the Republican Party do pass help people with money. The Republican Party is very open about that. That's not a political opinion. That's facts. Republicans do not like raising taxes because they feel like it affects the wealthy, and they feel like the wealthy create jobs. I'm all for anybody finding their spiritual journey. That's why I don't like speaking about it, because I don't want to come across like I don't like the fact you're talking about Jesus. Because Kanye has always had religious themes in his music. I mean, one of his biggest songs was Jesus Walks. So nobody's taking that from him. It's just that the way you're going about doing it sounds like completely disingenuous.
It does.
Like, if you just got on here on your interviews and said what you didn't do and said, like, hey, man, look, I found this new spiritual journey. It's helped me become a better man, a better husband, a better father. I just want everybody else to experience, understand where I'm going, my thought process and how I'm feeling. I'd be all for that. But you're gonna hear start rambling again once about politics and about all this. Nah, bro. Nah, you don't sound that saved. So,
my issue with Kanye isn't his faith. Not at all. That's not my issue with Kanye. My thing is, I don't like how Kanye leads. Kanye is a horrible leader. Kanye is not a leader.
He's not.
It's something that's been said about Kanye for the longest time. Kanye only wants the validation of white people. And now it is very obvious and clear to see that. He doesn't care about what we, the people who will really champion him, care about. And care about his state and care about the lack in his music. That's not what he cares. Y'all can say all day he cares. He made great shoes. Look,
I don't care, honestly.
The shoes do look cool, but I'll never spend a dollar on those. I don't care. I like Adidas, but I'm not buying those Adidas. I'm not lying in that man's pockets because I no longer believe in the man that is Kanye West. And I am somebody who was a huge Kanye fan. I'm somebody that really went to bat about his his narcissism and saying that nobody just he was just misunderstood. You just don't get it. I was that guy. But once, like Confucius said, you start touting that you know more than everybody else, and everybody else that's not buying into what you bought into is stupid. Then no, I'm not rocking with it. And when you get up there saying very detrimental statements, I can't rock with you. The whole slavery was a choice thing. Now, I get what you were trying to say, but the way he delivered it was detrimental. Because then all these other people in the younger generation, guess what, Kanye? They believe in you. They still rocking with you. They gonna get up and they gonna tell somebody that.
But my thing with the slavery is the choice comment. I'm like you. I understand what he was trying to say. But here's my problem. If I tell you right now, Fresh, you're broke by choice, which I hate when people say that.
y'all need to stop saying it.
And what I'm really trying to say is you need to motivate yourself to get make some money. But then I double down and say, well, you're also still stupid because you're still broke. It's like, bro, you're doubling down. You're not. You can't talk yourself out of this. And he tried to say, well, I didn't mean slavery was the choice. I said, yeah, but then you're still calling the majority black population stupid for not voting for the party that you're affiliated with currently. You know, one of the most active voting groups in the country is black women.
Mm-hmm.
They're the most active. They're the most vocal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're the most well-versed on the issue. This, once again, this is facts. I'm not saying this.
No, this is very true. This is facts. You can look up these numbers on whitehouse.gov.
when people always talk about, like, you know, knowing the issues or doing that, I said, you take black women out of that conversation because they vote. They're going to vote. So when Kanye says things like black people are brainwashed, I'm saying you're more than likely disrespecting a woman that looks like your mother, who was like your mother. And that's what's so mind-boggling to me. Like, once again, you could have whatever political opinion or affiliation you want to have, whatever. But Kanye is one of those people where, once again, I talk about this, Michael Fisher says, who feels like, because I have money, because my wife is gorgeous, and because I've been successful, I know more than everybody else. No, that's not how it works.
It's not. You just were successful at what you did.
And by the way, I've seen people y'all say that Kanye is one of the best producers of the last century. Y'all need to shut up. Please stop talking.
Because y'all clearly never heard of Quincy Jones' album.
I'm saying, like, y'all just shut up. Just stop. Anyway, because I'm starting to feel the way, I'm going to get some going.
Yeah.
Of course, we got to get into this music news. So Prince has a new book out. Well, not Prince. A fan of his wrote it that was working with Prince before he passed away.
Oh, was that how that was?
Yeah, apparently, like, the guy was living with Prince right up to when he died, and had all these transcripts and manuscripts from the book they were writing, and then, of course, Prince passed away. So the guy finally put out the book. And the big takeaway from it was Prince apparently wasn't a huge fan of Katy Perry or Ed Sheeran. He said the radio plays their music too much. And basically, he felt like they were products, industry plants, basically.
Is that a surprise that he felt that way?
No.
Prince was kind of the one to tout that who he didn't like and who he did like. I mean, this is the man who said, Beyonce is cool, but she don't really play an instrument, so, you know. he literally said it. Like, he said she was cool, but, you know, she's not really an artist because she doesn't play an instrument, so.
It's funny.
Start seeing it on the piano, too.
It's funny because I saw the book. I've seen it in the bookstore, and it's a pretty thick book, so it's funny that the only takeaway that I keep seeing from the book
is that who he didn't like is Ed Sheeran and Katy Perry.
Yeah. Like you said, Prince is famously very, very critical of other artists.
He didn't like Justin Timberlake. I don't see y'all talking about that.
Nobody talks about the fact Justin Timberlake dissed him too.
No, let that slide.
But also in the book it spoke about his creative process, and the guy was saying that Prince was kind of a hoarder, but not in a bad way. Like, Prince would keep like lyric sheets from every song he's ever written, just like lying around, or ideas he would have just lying around. Could you imagine, like, just being a fan of somebody? Like, of course, I'm a fan of Outkast. I can imagine, like, hanging out with Big Boy for X amount of time and just seeing different Outkast stuff just lying around. Like, lyric sheets and memorabilia and stuff that he's like, oh, that's nothing. I'm like, excuse me, say what? Like, you imagine just seeing that? But yeah, the guy, he lived with Prince and he had access to all this stuff. And what I'm hearing, the book is pretty good. Like it was, they say this, it's the closest we'll probably get to something that Prince would have written in terms of, like, what the guy explored and what he talked about and how Prince's life was. From the little parts I've read too, it also showed that Prince was pretty normal. I mean, he didn't do anything after.
I didn't doubt that he wasn't normal.
Yeah, but you know, it's always just, like Prince was always mysterious. So, you know, for us, it's always like, you always hear the jokes about, you know, Prince disappearing in places and like popping up like Batman. So it was like, yeah, Prince was pretty normal.
I think Prince was, like we all have known him to be, was just a very private person. He was a person who wasn't going to let everybody into his life and let everybody know every single entity of what he was going to do on a day-to-day basis. So, I mean, I didn't think he was that eccentric.
I mean, maybe in the 80s, but yeah, not now. Definitely not now.
Yeah, so, I mean.
But I definitely want to read the book. I like music books, like good ones at least.
I
bought
on Audible. I can't
do audiobooks, man.
I can't physically read a book. I fall asleep. I can listen to it while walking or going somewhere, but I can't physically read a book anymore. I literally
reading
fall asleep.
Reading is food. What is it? Food for the brain or so? What is one of them we heard in elementary school?
That's cool. That's what they said in elementary school. I've been out of elementary school for 20 years, bro.
Man, if you've been out almost 20 years, that means I've been out almost 30. But yeah, the book is called
you
The Beautiful.
That old.
And thank you. The book is called The Beautiful Ones. It's out now.
Which is one of my favorite Prince songs. We have a very special guest in the studio tonight. We have one and only Queen Dela. For those who don't know, tell everybody who Queen Dela is.
I'm Queen Dela, hotter than a fever. I'm somewhere in Venus, spit fire from the fetus, smoke credit, then the visa, take charge, you see it. Sick as bulimics and a lyrical genius. That was a little something. Anyway, Queen Dela, Oakland, California. Born and raised. I've lived in the Austin area for the past 10 years, out here doing my thing on the local scene and across the country, truly. I got some new music that I'm throwing out there. I'm working on a new album, shooting commercials. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff popping right now.
Very, very busy, booked and busy woman.
Booked and busy.
Those are always the best artists to talk to because they have so much to talk about, like, what started your musical journey? You said you're from Oakland and you've been here 10 years. Like what in your life happened to make you say, you know what, I'm just going to try to become a career musician?
Well, I have a family full of talented, very talented musicians. My growing up in a church, that was my first introduction to music, gospel music and singing in a choir. And my grandmother is also a vocalist. So always hearing her sing. And then my mother is a pianist. So, you know, I just have music all around me. My uncle played drums, you know, just having a very musical family. It was always music popping. You know, my auntie would take us to karaoke. And she was also in a band. So I guess after seeing that, I was inspired. But when I first started creating music, I was singing. So I was singing, but I had a family full of singers. So I was just like, you know what? I want to express myself through poetry. I want to be someone who, you know, can be the transformation that I want to see as far as seeing female hip hop artists coming from where I come from. So that's pretty much how my journey got started.
Oh, cool. That's dope.
So you said you were originally from Oakland.
Right.
Now, in my mind, I'm trying to figure out, how did you go from Oakland to Austin, seeing how Oakland has a very, very well-known and thriving rap, R&B, hip-hop scene, like Tony's from Oakland,
right.
E-40, Too Short,
right.
All of these great legends. So how did you become to be here in Austin from Oakland?
So my father is from Austin. A lot of people don't know that, but my father was born here in Austin, but raised in the Bay Area.
Okay.
And so Austin was just always a place I wondered about because I knew that I had family here, but no one in my family at that particular time really talked about Austin. And so when I got married, my husband's father is also from Austin as well, which was crazy because we both born and raised in Oakland, California. So my grandpa like, y'all better make sure y'all not cousins. y'all better make sure y'all not cousins. But anyway, we not cousins for the record. But after we had our son, we were like, you know, due to the violence and all the stuff that's happening in the city of Oakland, I was like, you know what? we got to get up out of here. But truly, my journey as a female hip hop artist in Oakland was always popping, especially coming up in Oakland, because not only am I an artist, but I'm an activist. I'm an artivist. You know what I mean? So I'm very well known in Oakland for my community activism. And then I just combined my activism with my art. And so I'm, you know, when I moved from Oakland, I definitely was the hottest female in the streets. But when you think about the violence and stuff that's happening, it was like, is it worth it?
Well, I mean, well, glad to have you. that Thank definitely you. Helps. It definitely helps. How do you feel about the Austin music scene currently?
What I feel about the Austin music scene, I feel like there's no equity when it comes to Black art within the city of Austin. Boom.
That's no argument from us.
Yes.
That's what
I'm here
I feel
nodding my head.
About the Austin scene. I'm grateful to be on the Austin scene. I'm grateful to be one of the few artists who is a paid artist on the Austin scene. But I also still feel like Black art does not get the exposure to the magnitude of white art here in the city.
I agree 120%.
Once again, no argument from us up here.
Yeah.
For the past, I will say, month or so, we've been, I guess, on a rampage. I guess some will call it of calling out the city of Austin. So what do you feel are some things that the city itself can do to help elevate Black art?
Support Black art. Like, I know a couple of the homies funding got cut for very important festivals that are happening in the city. Stuff like Jump On It, stuff like Ross Day, you know, are not getting the proper funding, and they're truly out there touching the people. So why is that happening? And then you have a bunch of these grants that are out there to support Black art, but the Black artists are not getting it. The other side of that is that us coming together as Black artists here as well. And I don't really see that a lot. I mean, I'm fortunate to have an amazing crew. You see my peoples here in the building with me, and I'm so grateful for them. And I know that I'm very fortunate to have an amazing community of people who like truly support my art. But I also see how we need to come together so that we don't have to be dependents of stuff like funding. And we, as the people, just fund our own stuff and get it popping.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, once again, no arguments from us. Definitely no arguments for us.
So, everybody, you're going to get a chance to support Queen Dealer in her art on November 9th, which is next Saturday.
Yes.
When she releases her new project, Unlisted. Going to switch gears a little bit. So what can we expect from Unlisted?
So being a sister in hip hop, something that I noticed is that with me being out here, I'm somebody who is very humble about some of the movements that I've been a part of. But through me being humble, because I'm not the person that just get on the gas, like, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I did this, and I did that. A lot of the times I feel like, you know, people will overlook you. You know what I mean? Because it truly is up to you to promote who you are. But I never felt like in the things that I've done that, you know, it's nothing to really brag and boast about. It's just doing the work. But I've been fortunate to do a lot of great things, you know? And so Unlisted, it's just saying, like, when I see categories like, you know, top female artists or female artists to look out for in the city, why isn't my name up here on there when I know everybody that's somebody who's out there doing the thing, but for some reason you won't say my name, you know what I mean? And I realize that it's not up to them to say my name, it's up to me to say my name. And so Unlisted, it's just me saying my name. I understand that it's up to me to put my message out. I'm not putting that on, or do I have those expectations that it's up to anybody to push my movement and who I am. And so that's just acknowledging one of the analogies that I said on one of the songs. I'm Wakanda to Africa. I'm there, but Unlisted. I'm Vibranium. I'm a precious jewel. And I'm grateful to have been able to be in the cut for so long, but now, you know, not any longer. Unlisted.
What you gonna do, queen?
You already know what to do. You already know what to do.
What you gonna do, queen?
It's time for Unpopular Opinion by Fresh himself.
Alrighty, so this week I've seen, well, in the last couple of days, I won't say the whole week, but in the last couple of days I've seen a lot of news about the school closures that the district is adamant on doing. It was originally 12 schools that they were going to close. They recently came out with a whole new plan. They're only going to close 4 campuses, and 8 of them were taken off the list. Just for those who are unaware, the campuses that will be closed, Brook Elementary will be closed, Pease will be closed, Sims will be closed, and Metz will be closed. Metz will be combined with Sanchez Elementary, while Sims will be combined with Norman Elementary. And Brook Elementary will be closed, and Pease will be turned into media and archive space for the district, because they said that modernizing it would just take too long, which i.e. means they don't have the money to do it because the district is broke. And so my unpopular opinion tonight is I am playing devil's advocate for AISD, as much as that pains me to say. If you know me, you know I am not the biggest fan of AISD. I've been following all of this and trying to figure out, from AISD's standpoint, why they would want to close this school. AISD, I think, came out last year saying that they were like $51 million in debt. If I was $51 million in debt and run a school district, yeah, we shut something down. Cuts have to be made. And that's unfortunate that it has to happen, but it's just something that has to happen when you're running a district as big as AISD. And I keep hearing AISD is one of the richest districts. Where? <Yeah. laughs> I keep hearing that, but like, where, bro? Because I'm not seeing it in the district. You also have to understand, like, the district is so many other things going to the district, like the upkeep of athletic facilities like Tony Berger or House Park or Nelson Field or the Delco Center or all of these other facilities that they have, and keep other schools upkeep. District spending all this money to try to keep this upkeep of these schools and still keep schools what they want. So if somebody got to go. Somebody has to go. Unfortunately, it was schools that parents feel strongly about their child staying there and getting their education, which I totally understand. And at this time, I want to jump away from defending AISD and just say, ha! I told y'all. I've been telling y'all this for over 10 years. And now everybody else is feeling the pain. When they said they were going to close schools, I immediately thought all 12 of those schools are going to be on east of 35. I'm kind of glad that they were not, but there were some. Bertha Salamis, which used to be J.E. Pierce Middle School, which is the middle school I went to, they had been trying to close for well over 10 years. They were trying to close it when I was there. They were trying to close it when my brother was there. They were trying to close it when my cousins were there. So, and then they turned it into Bertha Salamis Academy for Young Women. And so now they want to close it again, but apparently they're keeping it safe, keeping it open for the time being. Shouts out to them. They've been trying to close Webb for the last 10 years. But this is an issue that people east of 35 have dealt with before and have been telling y'all, and nobody seemed to care until it hit y'all. Nobody cared. People, I see all these signs for like Palm Elementary School and Maplewood and Pease and Brook Elementary. Y'all didn't seem to care when they were trying to close Webb. Y'all didn't seem to care when they wanted to close Oak Springs, when they wanted to close Pecan Springs. I didn't hear y'all touting all that before. They've been trying to close Pecan Springs for a mighty long time now, too. Nobody seemed to care then until it hits you. And then all of a sudden, y'all kids' education matter. But what about those kids east of 35? What about those kids? I went to Reagan. They were trying to close Reagan when I was there to give it to Lhasa, but nobody cared then. Nobody said a word. Nobody said that was unfair to us to kick us out of our school and send us and split us up between 3 different high schools. Nobody said a word. So my unpopular opinion tonight, basically, like I said, I'm the devil's advocate for AISD. School closures aren't that bad. Cuts got to be made. Schools got to go, man. They $51 million in the hole. What y'all expect them to do, man? I don't agree with the entire plan, but something got to shake when you're $51 million in the hole. And now, it is that time of the night where we get some wisdom imparted on us to help us, guide us through our life just a little bit better. Here is Mr. Jones with Confucius Says.
Yeah. So anyway, talking about Kanye early narcissism. That's my Confucius Says about. So, me and Fresh in the music industry, I also DJ, so I run into a lot of people.
Narcissists,
exactly. The music industry breeds those a lot. Like, it doesn't take much for people to get into this industry. Any type, honestly, service industry, period, and to feel very entitled. A lot of the people I work with are extremely narcissistic. So one of my jobs is going through a transitional phase, and the person who is in charge of it, I guess, is dealing with his personal issues, which happens to everybody. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's life.
But the problem with it is that there's a lot of things that us inside the club feel that the club needs, but he's not very open to hearing. So I was thinking about the situation. This is just not particular to this situation, but just what I've dealt with in life. A wise man once said he knows nothing, right? I think that was Plato that said that. So it said the wise man knows he knows nothing. So what I've learned in life is that when you walk into a room, regardless of who you're in the room with, you have to have a very open mind. You have to understand, like, there might be a good idea that comes out of this. This person, I might think in my mind, this person knows less than I do, but that does not mean they are completely void of giving me an idea that might be useful later on. A narcissist walks into that same room. It doesn't matter what anybody says. They've already had their mind made up the minute they walked in there. They look at walking in the room as doing everybody else a courtesy. Like, they should be happy I'm in here. I don't care what they got to say. Somebody can say, like, look, man, we could save money on water if we stop taking long showers. The narcissist thinks to himself, like, I'm not stopping nothing. I'm going to clean myself. I don't care what you got to say. So in life, it's easy to, we all have narcissistic tendencies. It's just life.
Mm-hmm.
It's humans. I mean, we've created images of godlike beings that we think look like us. We expect aliens to look like us, have five fingers, a head, and like, it's just human nature to be narcissistic, to think that it's always about us. But we have to be careful of narcissism is, don't let narcissism hold you back from fulfilling your true greatness, because a good idea can come from anywhere. Now, granted, I'm not saying you got to get a good idea from somebody you completely despise, but I mean, hell, if they give a good idea, you could use it. Just, you still have to like them. You can give me a great idea, I still have to like you. If you have the mentality of, it's not my idea, I'm not going to do it, then once again, you're missing out on a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of things me and Fresh run into around here. In the music industry, people are extremely narcissistic.
Boy.
You can't tell them nothing. One of the problems the city is having right now with the urban scene is that a lot of people who are in charge of making the decisions, they're narcissistic. They don't want to hear the good ideas that can help get artists paid or help develop the scene in a positive way, because they feel that they know what's better for the scene than the people that are telling them what the scene needs. That's why there's so much money on the table being left from not giving the focus to hip-hop and R&B like it should, because there's a lot of narcissistic people who make the decisions that distribute this money. Queen Dela spoke about this earlier in the show. So narcissism, it can be a disease. And like I said, we all have it. You know, it's like cholesterol. It goes up and down. It happens. But some people just have high cholesterol. Y'all need to stop eating meat. So,
I'm working on it, bro.
So, like, my Confucius says is, do not let narcissism block your blessings. And a lot of y'all are doing that, don't even know it, because you think you know it all. But once again, the wise man knows he knows nothing. And that's my Confucius says.
This week for Local Song of the Week, we have Teddy the Legacy with his song Free Agent. Teddy is a native Austinite who has had a great year, from performing in Las Vegas to releasing his highly anticipated album, Poster Child. Free Agent is the lead single from the album, which can be found on all streaming services. And now, here is Free Agent by Teddy the Legacy.
She hit me in the morning like, what you doing? I just popped me up about to call her Uber. Matter of fact, that's your friend, but we get into it. She be playing them games like I'm Patrick Ewing. I've been humble too long, think I'm K. Lamar. Had to get me a win, I can't take a loss. Told her sit down before I make a walk. If you ride it with me, gotta pay the cost. Used to walk through the mud, never let it dry. If you down with nigga, don't switch your side. Hold it down with my niggas, did homicide. I don't care what he did, nigga, free the guys. We gon' walk through the club and they wonder why. Fill the air with some gas, make him run a mile. Can't fuck all on the, he look guns a lot. He gon' make bitch seem like he hit the spot. Bah.
just got traded, got a new, and she got paper. Just got traded, got a new, and she got paper.
I can't get in caught with these dust. Start my day off with fruit and some vegetables. Cause hate what you do, so I eat some mold. They gon' ask for the sound when they time and close.
Just got traded, got a new, and she got paper. Just got traded, got a new, and she got paper.
I can't get in caught with these dust. Start my day off with fruit and some vegetables. Cause hate what you do, so I eat some mold. They gon' ask for the sound when they time and close.
Break Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.